and it's absolutely free.
That's really good.
Get it now and tap the app to get News Radio 92.3 no matter where in the world you are. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like the sands through Carpenter's Creek, so are the days of our Pensacola. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
I think it's important that there is accountability for the misuse of the opioid abatement fund, but I also want to note that even if the contract was funded by another source, we would still be here to protest against flock cameras in this city. Being watched at all times is not normal. George Orwell taught us in his book, 1984, what can happen to a society when it lives under mass surveillance. What once was fiction is now a reality. Big Brother is watching you, me, and everyone in between. 1984 was meant to be a warning, not an instruction manual. End the flock contract and remove all flock cameras now.
You know, the groups who are showing up to be upset about the data centers or about the flock cameras, they love to reference things. You know, 1984, it's just like 1984. Well, in 1984, you didn't typically have people showing up at the public forum section of the city council meeting able to say pretty much anything they wanted to say. Oh, I know what they will say is, well, Andrew, we're not there yet, and it's only by talking about this that we can prevent it. Okay, but, I mean, you know, as a picture of the dystopian future, 1984 paints a pretty stark picture. It generally comport with saying, my rights are being repressed and the, you know, information secrecy police are coming to get me as I'm standing here openly talking and people are for weeks and weeks and weeks on end talking about what we believe is wrong with all of this stuff. You know, it starts to become a little bit thin to make the comparison, but, you know, that's okay. People have their First Amendment rights. That was Sarah Blankenship. She's one of the frequent flyers recently at the city council meeting. Lucas Pallone, another recent frequent flyer at the city council and somewhat county commission meetings. These are the folks who are upset about the flock cameras, and now they have become upset about the data centers, and we'll get to that.
So July 7th, Fox 5 Atlanta published a story on five officers in Albany, Georgia, who were arrested after an audit of their flock searches by the Georgia Bureau of Investigations. All five are charged with multiple counts of misusing license plate readers and one count of violation of oath of office. A day later, from CBS Atlanta, a Greene County deputy was arrested for misusing license plate readers for personal searches over a three-month period. She's charged with violating her oath of office and retaining license plate data. Also on July 8th, a story from WISN in Wisconsin. An internal affairs detective was assigned to investigate a fellow officer's misuse of the flock systems, only to then misuse the system himself. He's being charged with misconduct.
So it's an interesting way to protest that something is inappropriate and unacceptable, that it was being used wrongly, and the people who used it wrongly are in fact being prosecuted for their misuse. You follow? Like, if the people who used it wrongly are being prosecuted, then it would seem that we have a rule in place that you don't misuse it, and the people who do misuse it wind up getting in legal jeopardy because they misuse it. That actually seems like a system that's working fairly well. Of course, there are going to be people who misuse any form of technology, or, I mean, anything, honestly. But the fact that you can go, in, again, publicly in front of a city council meeting, and you can list out, these are the cases of people who misuse this technology, and, oh, by the way, they're being prosecuted right now, as evidence that this system is going to be an unregulated, crazy surveillance state of the people, which will oppress them and have all kinds of inappropriate uses. Well, you know about the inappropriate uses and their crimes being charged, and here you are talking openly about them in meetings. It doesn't, again, fit with the narrative very well. Now, I suspect if they're smart, and these folks seem, you know, they're smart enough that they would say, well, Andrew, these are the ones we know about. Okay, how many others are there? Well, we don't know. That's the problem. Okay, well, how did these folks get found out? Well, because there's a tracking service on the use of the system, and you have to enter certain keywords in order to access the system, and there are often checking systems to make sure people are using it correctly. Okay, and those caught these wrongdoers, right? Yes. Well, what reason do you have to believe that that is not working to catch the other ones, that there's this what other vast misuse going on that you're not finding out about? And my answer is, I just don't think that there is. Maybe there is. I mean, it's possible. Maybe there is. Or maybe you have most of these law enforcement agencies are using the information properly. Now, this is different than claiming that the thing itself is bad, than claiming that we shouldn't have the government able to capture your license plate for whatever reason you want to argue. But I always try to deal with one issue at a time. And the issue here is we have reports of police misuse of this technology, and they say that's why we shouldn't have it. And I say, well, the fact that the misuse was discovered and is being prosecuted is evidence that the system is working properly, not improperly. Again, putting some of the other questions aside, always deal with one issue at a time. Lucas Pallone, although I actually like Lucas, that he's taking a fairly nuanced view, which I think to their credit, the opponents of the flock camera system have done this for the most part. Sometimes they just keep repeating themselves, and sometimes they go back to the same exact well again and again. But they have taken a slightly nuanced view when it comes to Chief Winstrom. And he went before the city council and he answered questions and talked to the public, and which I said at the time, I'm curious to see if they adapt to this, because that means we're having a conversation. We're not just up there chanting our chants to be able to be heard for it.
I list these articles off about officer misuse, not to say that it'll happen here in Pensacola. Credit where it's due, Chief Winstrom did put out the license plate reader policy, and while I have my concerns with it, I will save that for a separate speech. All I'm saying is that Flock is a very powerful tool that seems to be tempting more and more officers across the nation to abuse it. So, with all that in mind, please lobby the mayor to cancel the contract. Thank you.
And again, just as an analysis piece, to me, as a philosopher, as somebody who taught logic, you know, the way I think about this is, okay, I understand your concern about abuse. I understand the cases of known abuse that you've reported. I don't know, you don't know, how many unreported cases of abuse exist. Are there any positives to this program? Are there any other arguments in favor of it? Or is the mayor and the chief of police just a bunch of fools for implementing this thing? And the answer is, well, of course there's an upside, right? There's the solving of crimes. There's the capturing of murderers or attempted murderers. And you've seen those stories too. And the chief has talked about this, and other law enforcement in other places. And we have both county sheriffs believe in this system. Again, if you're going to persuade me as the target audience of your repeated protestations about something, demonstrate to me that you understand both sides. I certainly understand the concerns about people's ability to move freely and the concerns about the aggregation of your movements being somehow misused in a way to stymie you or to control or coerce you or to punish you, because we've seen you at this protest. One of the concerns people have is, well, the wrong kind of people are going to get surveilled. You know, people that the government doesn't like are going to get surveilled, and that surveillance is going to be used against them. And, you know, to embarrass them, to get them fired, to politically suppress them, whatever the case may be. I totally get that concern, of course. But do you understand what are the upsides of this? Do you understand what's the benefit of this system? And I haven't really heard much mention of that. And again, if you're going to present yourself as a reasonable explainer of an issue, you've got to do kind of both sides. Demonstrate your knowledge of it. That's always a prerequisite. 518 on News Radio 92.3. Well, that was just a little piece. The much more interesting piece was the later conversation in the night that took, this is like a five-hour meeting, I think, and this conversation took about an hour and a half altogether.
All right, our next item is item 26-787, public hearing regarding proposed ordinance number 13-26, temporary moratorium on the acceptance, review, or approval of large-scale data centers and large-load customer facilities.
Yes, the data center derangement syndrome people were out. I'm trying to figure out. I kind of want to come up with team names. Like, we have the Pitchfork Posse, you know, in Santa Rosa. I think we need to have the Flock Fighters in Escambia County. I don't know. Data center derangement syndrome seems to describe it to me, but it's not a great team name, you know. So I'm still working on that one. The data center deniers, deprivers, I don't know. It seems like alliteration always works in this case. So the folks that are very worked up about data centers who, you know, are still worked up about Flock, and they're really worked up about AI, and, you know, they've gone to the city council and the county commission, and they didn't really cross the water too much to go to Santa Rosa, but Santa Rosa enacted a moratorium recently. Escambia is going to do the same and or a ban. We'll kind of see how this plays out. Francesca DeBrien.
The dangers of this 50-megawatt standard is that intentionally to build a false sense of security and it creates a legal illusions of any facility opening between the threshold of a small, harmless, neighborhood-friendly to let it be clear of what you're actually.
I think she's reading, and I'm guessing from her phone. I could be wrong. When she says opening instead of opening, it's kind of weird. So I don't know. I think she's one of the ones who has said that she's got a history in working in this industry. The basic objection is actually quite understandable. The state legislature has passed two bills that are relevant. SB 180, which very dramatically limited the ability of local governments to enact land development code restrictions on development because people have private property rights. They subsequently then passed SB 484, which this year, which just allows for the regulation and the control of data centers or what they call, you know, large power users. It's 50 megawatts or more. And what Charles Baer has said is, I want to produce a moratorium for a year where, you know, anybody who's going to draw 50 megawatts of power, which is an enormous amount of power, it's depending on how you measure it, but generally speaking, you can grasp that that's enough power to power all the houses in the city of Pensacola. So that's a lot. I mean, that's a hyperscale data center. That's a big boy, okay? That's the kind of the thing that has most people the most excited about all this. And her argument is, look, if you ban a 50, well, somebody's just going to come in and propose a 45, and it doesn't say anything about that. And okay. Or maybe they're going to propose, you know, 13 20s, and that's actually 260 megawatts. Oh, my God. And if it's different sites or different parcels or whatever. Again, that's a false sense of illusion because people can still do the bad thing just below the threshold. Kind of like when you allow an administrator to spend $50,000 without any approval from the governing body, and then they go and buy a thing for $247,000 because – or 245 because it's 5 times 49, you know, like they just work under. Okay, it's an understandable objection. And we'll get to it in just a second. John Moore said the same thing.
Calling a moratorium on data centers while leaving the door open, wide open to facilities that dwarf the city's own footprint isn't protection, it's theater. Councilman Baer, I do believe you have the area's best interest in mind. And I appreciate that offer, but I don't think it's acceptable. And knowing that hospitals and schools, you know, they're in the single digits of megawatts, the kind of power that they would need to do this. And unless Florida West and PEDC has something cooking under an NDA, you know, there's no need for this right now. And I was going to say, you know, I asked you to strike it down, but could we at least table it and get it right if we're going to do it?
So you have this weird thing where these folks have been coming and screaming or speaking vociferously, I'll say, about this for weeks and weeks and weeks. And now Charles Baer has finally given them what they want, and they won't take yes for an answer, like Tom Danheiser said last week about the Santa Rosa County Commission. You folks have been, or the week before maybe, you folks have been begging for this, and we're giving it to you, and you won't take yes for an answer. Because in Santa Rosa, what they did is they put a one-year moratorium, and people were like, no, it needs to be a full-blown ban. And Tom Danheiser, the county attorney, explained, well, if we go to a ban, it takes more time to put into place because you have to go through a whole process. And in that time period, somebody might just come forward and, you know, make some kind of an application. A moratorium actually goes into place immediately. It's much more nimble. It actually gives you more of what you want, not less. No, no, no. We want the other thing. Kind of the same thing here. You know, no, no, no. Don't pass this. Table it and come back with a better one. At some different undisclosed number, make it 10 megawatts, make it 30. Like, they wouldn't say a number. They just were unhappy with this one after they've gotten the thing that they want, which is a moratorium from, you know, Charles Baer's been proposing this. And again, just for context, there's no plan to bring these. There's nowhere to put them in the city of Pensacola. They're not allowed in the land development code. It would take an enormously convoluted process for you even to get approval for one to happen. And there's just no intent to do it. Plus, if you look at the, you know, map of the city of Pensacola, there's really not any great places to do it. And the county maybe. Okay, the county is obviously a lot bigger and has a lot more land available to potentially put one of these in. There's still no plan to bring one in the county, but certainly in the city. So when these folks they're raising objections like, you know, 50 is not good enough. It needs to be at 20 or 10. And you should put this on the back burner, table it, vote no, come back with a better one. Why don't you take the 50 on a one-year moratorium and come back in a month and say, okay, or in 6 months and say, you know what we'd really like to do is we think it ought to be at 10 or at 20, right? Give people some time to research and work on it. Well, none of that was really offered. So they're frustrated. You know, they've got an issue. They're very worked up about it. I described this during the wrap on Friday. It's starting to look to me a little bit like a religious thing. Not that they are motivated by God, but that there's like a zeal that comes from conversion. You get converted to a cause, and all of a sudden that cause becomes your whole life. And, you know, new Christians get really passionate about the right way to do baptism or who should be preaching or, you know, when in the tribulation is the rapture going to come? And, you know, and which is great. But there's that kind of like new believer excitement about all of this that doesn't always do the best job of really evaluating both sides, doesn't always take account of contrary information, kind of gets its teeth into one view, and now they're down, you know, painting signs and making big speeches at the city council meeting or the county commission meeting. They eventually did vote 7-0 to put in a moratorium for all the right reasons because of what they believe the Florida law allows them to do. They basically said yes after a big, long protest, and then, you know, these folks want a smaller ban. They want a more permanent ban or more, you know, a ban instead of a moratorium. They want it to be specific only to AI data centers, which, you know, you can't. Which way do you let people use their computers is not exactly a land development code issue. But anyway, they got their yes. We'll see if they'll be happy with it. 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Someone had a birthday.
Yep, 50. Can't believe it.
50 years of wisdom.
Great segue. We have a health reminder from the CDC.
Pneumococcal vaccination is recommended for adults 50 or older. Says here, we're over 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults under 50.
I don't love those odds.
Same. Look what I found. Pfizer's Prevnar 20 is proven to help protect adults against pneumococcal pneumonia and invasive pneumococcal disease in just one dose, and millions have already gotten it.
Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you have a severe allergy to its ingredients. A weakened immune system may lower your response. Common side effects include injection site pain and swelling, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138. Visit Prevnar20.com or talk to your doctor or pharmacist.
I'm on Prevnar20.com now, scheduling my appointment.
Good idea. And happy 50th.
Santa Rosa, I am Jill Broxson-Teston, a parent of 4 amazing children. I understand a strong school system is one of the most important investments we can make in our children's future. That's why I'm running for School Board District 5. My mission is to be your strong advocate for our public school system. I'll lead with transparency and steady leadership to help ensure the long-term success of our district. On August 18th, I'll be honored to earn your vote.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Jill Broxson-Teston for Santa Rosa County School Board.
Good dental health starts at the beginning of life. For infants, wipe their gums with a clean, soft cloth after feeding and make sure to schedule your child's initial dental visit before their first birthday. As your child grows, make sure they brush twice a day and floss before bed, limit sugary snacks and drinks, and schedule regular dental checkups. Focusing on healthy dental habits early helps children grow into healthy adults. Visit floridahealth.gov/dentalhealth to learn more. This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Health and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You ever look at your bank account and think,
okay, that could be better?
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
Kip, I reckon you know a lot about cyberspace. You ever come across anything like time travel?
Easy. I've already looked into it for myself.
You wired me awake and hit me with a hand of broken nail. You tied my lead and pulled my chain to watch my blood begin to boil. But I'm gonna break. I'm gonna break my.
I love the Johnny Cash.
Gonna break my rusty cage and run.
Including, you know, Nine Inch Nails.
I'm gonna break.
When you're Soundgarden, you don't imagine, you know, one of these days Johnny Cash is going to cover me and do it better. I mean, the original song is great. Rusty Cage is a great song. It might be one of Soundgarden's best song. But, you know, when Johnny Cash remakes it, he makes it fantastic. 529 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, People are up early and salty on a Monday morning. I had somebody here because I was asking the question, what should be the team name for the data center protest people? I genuinely do think that it kind of looks like data center derangement syndrome, the way people talk about Trump derangement syndrome. You know, like no argument on the other side makes any sense to them. They're opposed to it no matter what, and there's no sense of balance to the presentation. But it's hard to make a team name out of that like we do Pitchfork Posse. And then somebody says, how about the Doomsday Data Deniers? Ooh, I kind of like that. It's got a lot of alliteration going on in there. Somebody else says, I don't know why you don't build a data center for AI in Century. It couldn't make it any worse. Oh, God, that's just so wrong. So mean. Let's leave it at that.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Ninth straight night, U.S. military strikes inside Iran.
According to U.S. Central Command, a variety of different targets were hit, including Iranian military command centers, surveillance sites, maritime capabilities, missile and drone launch positions, and communications networks.
Fox's Trey Inks in Tel Aviv. The latest action comes after three service members were killed in Jordan in an attack by Iran at the end of last week, while a fourth soldier dies in Iraq during a controlled detonation of an Iranian drone.
We feel very badly, but you know, those great people, those great patriots were out there fighting that Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon.
President Trump speaking last night at Joint Base Andrews, and Vice President J.D. Vance and his wife, Second Lady Usha Vance, welcome the birth of their fourth child on Sunday. Little boy's name, Alec Neil Vance. America's listening to Fox News.
I'm thinking nobody was hurt, the Red Cross. Good morning, 531 here at News Radio 92.3, and right now we've got 73 degrees. It's partly cloudy this morning. We are watching Tropical Depression 2. That's expected to turn into Tropical Storm Bertha before the end of the day. The National Hurricane Center also closely monitoring not only Tropical Depression 2, but forecasters say that could strengthen as early as today.
There's the possibility of getting tropical storm conditions beginning tonight into Tuesday. We're also recommending interest in Mississippi, Louisiana, and Texas to continue monitoring the progress because additional watches could be required for portions of those areas over the next couple days. We are expecting some areas of gusty winds. There could be some flash flooding possible.
That is meteorologist and hurricane specialist Philip Pappin. The system is moving slowly and remains several hundred miles south of the Florida Panhandle. A tropical storm watch is in effect. Again, from the Ochilokinone River to the Alabama border, forecasters say the biggest concern will be periods of heavy rain. Well, the Cantonment Improvement Committee is giving away 10,000 pounds of food tomorrow. That distribution starts at 3 in the afternoon at Carver Park on Webb Street. Organizers are asking attendees to line up north on Webb Street. You'll need a valid ID as well. There is a limit of 3 recipients per vehicle. Florida's month-long back-to-school sales tax holiday kicks off today and runs through August 20th. Shoppers can skip sales tax on clothing up to $100, school supplies up to $50, and computers at up to $1,500. Last year's sales tax holiday saved consumers an estimated $217 million statewide. A Mobile woman has died after a two-boat crash in Baldwin County on Saturday. 46-year-old Kristen Delaney was critically injured when the boat she was riding on collided with another vessel near Wolf Bay. She died at South Baldwin Hospital. Several others from both boats were injured and taken to Sacred Heart in Pensacola. Alabama's Marine Patrol is still investigating. 534 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our forecast from Channel 3, Brooke Richardson.
We do have a 50% chance of those showers and thunderstorms today. Going to be seeing a mix of some sun and clouds and heavy rain, high near 95 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. For Tuesday, 70% chance of those showers and thunderstorms, heavy in some spots, high near 89. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 79 degrees. Heading into Wednesday, 50% chance of rain, high near 89 degrees. And Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 78. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 73 degrees with partly cloudy skies. Our next news. at 6. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with your money now. Samsung Biologics has made a $1.8 billion bid for Polypeptide Group. With the acquisition, the company will expand its pipeline into peptide therapeutics to tap into the booming weight loss drug market. The drug maker expects to complete the deal by the end of the year. TSMC Chief Financial Officer Wendell Huang said on CNBC that the chipmaker will double down on its Arizona expansion. TSMC is scaling up its mega investment in Arizona by committing an additional $100 billion to aggressively expand its U.S. chipmaking footprint amid a surging multi-year structural demand for AI. The company's 2-nanometer technology will drive its revenue in the next quarter. Samsung Electronics has cut jobs at its U.S. display, phone, and other consumer electronics operations, affecting workers mainly in New Jersey and Texas. The South Korean tech giant said in a statement to Reuters that 739 roles in Englewood Cliffs, New Jersey, have been affected by plans to move its headquarters to Texas. Futures have risen this morning. That's your money now.
Millions watch the Blue Angels every year. Thousands line Pensacola Beach, but almost nobody gets to fly with them until now. Climb into a full-scale replica FA-18 Super Hornet cockpit and experience the thrill of flying in the slot position with Blue Angel number 4. Hi, I'm retired Rear Admiral Kyle Kozed, President and CEO of the National Naval Aviation Museum Foundation. You're cleared for takeoff in the only experience of its kind in the world at the National Naval Aviation Museum. Visit NavalAviationMuseum.org to plan your mission today.
Hi, this is David Williams. I'm seeking re-election to the Escambia County School Board in District 3. I worked for 35 years in the school system, where I've made a difference in students' lives, where I help increase the graduation rate, making sure our schools are safe, and ensuring our students are college and career ready. Please visit my webpage at davidwilliams3.com and view my platform for District 3. Re-elect David Williams, Escambia School Board.
Paid political ad by David Williams for Escambia County School Board District 3.
Jumping around the dial all day.
Start your morning with Pensacola Morning News, weekdays 5 to 9. Stick around for Pep Talk with Meg from 9 to 11. Then it's MVR from 11 till 2, Hughes Hewitt from 2 to 4, and Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin from 4 to 7. One station, one day, everything you need to know. News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 5:38 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We are paying attention, of course, to Tropical Depression 2 that is just sitting out there in the Gulf, due south of Apalachicola is kind of where the center of it is. It's not a very well-formed center, but due west of Tampa, producing all these spinoff storms. If you had you saw the storming that happened here yesterday, that's what it is. We're just periodically getting these things. I know we were out on the boat yesterday in the intercoastal and, it was clear and then it was pouring rain and then it was clear and then it was pouring rain. Just like, this is going to be the reality for a while because the thing's not moving. It's spinning at like 30 miles an hour last time I checked. So, yay for us. But in any case, your grass is getting the rain that it needs, which is,
ferns are like, oh my God, thank you.
Yeah. But everything's fine. And then all of a sudden you're watching the trees bend over. Whoa. And then everything's fine. It's just kind of a weird thing. On Friday, Saturday, we had the Blue Angels air show. I was out there, of course. And, number 3 jet did not fly again. So that's 3 days in a row that the number 3 jet did not fly. We talked on Thursday with Captain Adam Bryan. Gilligan's his call sign. He is the commanding officer of the Blue Angels. And the beginning of this interview, this is the one that's made all the news. This is the question and answer that's gotten all the attention, like nationally. It's kind of been crazy, the number of shares that this thing has shared. But this was kind of that interview, and so you can kind of hear the commanding officer's perspective on the low pass that took place on Wednesday morning. But in the beginning, I was out there. Madrina Siano was out there with me, and you'll hear her voice a little bit, and then you hear somebody else's voice in the middle. But for the most part, it's just me and Gilligan talking. So anyway, here's the interview from it's actually Thursday, but we played it first on Friday with the Blue Angels boss.
All right, I'll go first, sure. Because if not, he'll have like 12 questions.
It's been known to happen.
Just a couple times.
I just wanted to say that with it being the 80th anniversary, what is it that you hope the locals and people watching from afar on this iconic Blue Angels weekend here on Pensacola, what do you hope the takeaway is?
You know, I want them to ensure that they see a team of professionals day in and day out that are dedicated to our mission of showcasing the teamwork and professionalism of the United States Navy Marine Corps. We have been doing this on this team for the past 8 decades. So it's an honor for this team to represent, you know, our legacy and bring that forward and represent all the people that came before us and take this team into our, you know, 81st year coming November.
Captain, congratulations. When was that?
So I was appointed a captain October 1st of last
okay,
year.
So it has been almost a year. All right, fair enough. Looking forward to your now what, second beach air show?
Absolutely. You know, everyone asks me, you know, where my favorite place to perform is, and I certainly never lie to the media. I tell them coming here to Pensacola is my favorite place to perform.
You know, obviously you guys have gotten a lot of attention from yesterday, including from Pete Hegseth, who says keep flying flyovers. So talk a little bit about that incident and then what you do afterwards, if anything.
Yeah. So, you know, every flight we do, whether it goes incredibly well or we don't have the best flight, we look at it and we debrief it every day. During yesterday's circle and arrival maneuvers, one of our pilots found himself over the beach line, over a crowd in an unsafe situation. The safety of our flight demonstration, the safety of the crowd that goes out there and watches it every day is the utmost of what we do. We work day in and day out and very hard from the start of our training to ensure safety is paramount for everything. So we'll have a heavy review of what happened yesterday to ensure that, one, we don't put ourselves in unsafe situations again, and two, that we learn from it. And that's the most important thing that we do from anything that happens out there, is that we learn from the things that go on, and we make ourselves better every day.
So, you know, obviously it's a big event, the Pensacola Beach Air Show. It is the keynote event of the year. Yeah. Talk about what this means to the team, which is their first, a lot of them, this is their first one.
Yeah, it is. So, you know, for half our team of officers and about a third of our enlisted, this is their first Pensacola Beach Air Show. But for anybody that spent some time down here, whether it was in flight school or our maintenance personnel going through their initial training, they got to see the Pensacola Beach Air Show and how big it is. We consider this one of the biggest events that we do any given year. We kind of put bookmarks in what we do, whether it's our first show, our last show, and then certainly as we get halfway through the season. It's a place where we feel the energy from the crowd more than anywhere else, and we couldn't be more excited to perform here.
Interesting mix on the team this year. More females in the blue suits than I remember in the past. More Marines in the blue suits than I remember in the past.
Yeah, you know, we represent the breadth of the Navy and Marine Corps, and one of the best parts about this team is that it doesn't matter which part of the department you're from, you know, what gender you are. It matters how you perform every single day and the character you have as a person. And those two things set us apart from almost every other organization that's out there.
Fat Albert's in the shop for a little bit of body work, deep body work. But you've got a loner here. How is that working out for the team?
It's been absolutely fantastic. We can't thank the Marine Corps enough for loaning us this aircraft for the year. I always joke that our most important plane of the Blue Angels is not the jets behind you. It's our logistics platform or the C-130 that we're flying. We could not do this job. We could not do the shows across the country without a logistics capability of Fat Albert, or what we now affectionately call Ernie out here.
Do you get to max her out, or is she playing the show at all, or not at all?
Unfortunately, no. We're preserving some life on her for the Marine Corps. However, when Bert resumes next year, we'll be back in the demo full time.
When you borrow your friend's car, you don't race in it.
You sure don't, no.
I just have one comment, and we can move on. Irregardless of who was in number three, would you tell them the entire Pensacola community is behind them, and we loved it, and we welcome low passes?
We absolutely will. You know, we know, and that's one of the great things about this community. We know the support is here day in and day out, and every single time we come back, whether it's on a Sunday night, whether that's any training flight here over Naval Air Station Pensacola or the beach, we know the community's behind us.
So what's it like, you know, I know you have a job to do when you're up in the air performing maneuvers, all the things, but what is it like seeing, you know, the emerald water, the white sand, and the people on the beach? You know, can you tell us what that looks like to you?
Yeah, you know, when I'm flying in for our first maneuver, which is called the head-on, especially in a place up here where I see thousands of boats, you almost can't see the sand because there's so many people. And then you do your first maneuver overhead, you have to pinch yourself a little bit. And then I get right back to flying because this job requires an intense amount of concentration from everyone that's doing it. And whether it's the people that are comp carded out there or maintainers or the sales people flying the jets, we try to have ourselves in the moment, right? And then after it's done, we take a look outside and say that that was an incredibly cool thing that we got to do.
You've had some really interesting activities in the last year. Meanwhile, we're at almost war, depending on whom you ask, but you've had some amazing flyover opportunities this year and some places that have maybe never seen that. Talk a little about some of those favorites, preferred, what it was like being part of those events, including the 250.
Absolutely. You know, honored to do all of these different types of events. So our team's job is to do flight demonstrations around the country, represent the Navy and Marine Corps, but we'll have the opportunity to showcase that even in a joint fashion with the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds, such as in the UFC 250 event, or the nation's 250th celebrations. It's an honor for us to do it. Some very iconic spots that we have gotten to fly over this year, to include up the Hudson River during Sail 250, over Washington, D.C., and certainly the Naval Academy graduation every year. We've also had the opportunity this year, which is unique. We have now done photo shoots and flown with four other flight demonstration teams through us from foreign countries. So it's been a very truly incredible year for our team.
Very important that you flew the center of the Super, and the Thunderbirds were following your lead, right?
Absolutely, sir. So we do this, we try to do it every year, and the senior jet demonstration team commander will typically take the lead of that, that being myself this year.
What were the other teams that you flew with? I feel ignorant.
Yeah, no problem. We flew with the Royal Canadian Air Force Snowbirds. Okay. Yeah. We flew with the...
But aren't they on stand down something? They're kind of
so
not...
this is their last year performing. They're going to transition to a new aircraft.
That's it.
We got to fly with the French Patrouille de France.
Okay.
And then we got to just recently fly with the Red Arrows from the UK Royal Air Force.
Very good.
So...
thank you so much for the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so that was the interview that got all these shares and got all this attention. And can I give you just a weird little surreal thing about that interview and his answer on, you know, the unsafety of the, you know, the positioning of Blue Angel 3 and that low pass on Wednesday, which of course has made, you know, international news. His answer to my question has been covered and quoted all over the place. I was reading, I don't even remember what it was. It was just so surreal to me. I was reading this. It wasn't, I don't think it was Task and Purpose, but it was something like that. It was one of these, you know, national military resource websites. And I was reading their account of all of this, and they started off by quoting the question that I had asked him. And I'm reading, I'm like, wait, that's my question. And they didn't know who I was. They said, a reporter asked him, and then they gave his answer. And I'm like, you know, there's no expectation that they would have any idea who it was. I'm like, here, I'm getting quoted in this national whatever it was in an interview that Madrina Siano happened to video and became this massive viral video on Instagram. Like, the world is weird. I mean, the world is just the flow of information in our world through social media is super bizarre. I'll just put it that way. 547 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have a company, you have employees, you have to do with benefits and HR and, you know, payroll. If you have to deal with health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, you know, all the key things that employees are interested in. Well, Torgerson Consulting does this. They do it really well. We've been using them for 5 years here at News Radio in Cat Country. They've been doing it for 25 years locally. And the short version is they're just very detail-oriented, very passionate about what they do, and they like it, whereas you typically don't like it. These kinds of things are irritating to have to deal with, but you have to do them well or your employees don't get their key things taken care of. And also, of course, employees can, you know, go somewhere else where they think they have better benefits or where they take care of them better or just recruiting, all of that stuff. Well, Torgerson Consulting is great at this. And they're there when you have questions. How do I know? Because my wife is an industrial engineer by training, and she has a lot of questions. I'm a philosopher by training. I have a lot of questions. So whenever we have questions, Reed always has good answers, and they have been fantastic for the 5 years we've been using them. 433-9996 to have them come out and take a no-obligation review of whatever you're doing, or check them out online. Torgerson Consulting at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Making a few small changes to how you use energy in your home can make a big difference.
like setting your AC. Every degree you raise it can save you up to 5% on cooling costs. With the FPL Energy Manager, you can easily monitor how much energy you're using, see which appliances use the most, and how it affects your bill. Keep more money in your pocket by making your home more energy efficient. Learn more at fpl.com/ways to save.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, Pensacola's own On the Rocks takes all your musical favorites, shakes it up, twists it, then adds their own unique and special flavors, serves it to you on the rocks. And don't miss the Gulfside Market, making its return to Bands on the Beach, brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
You're not looking for an argument.
You just want to know what's going on.
And that's a good thing.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Who's burned from the weekend? Raise your hand. My hands are up. But I didn't get burned at the Blue Angels Air Show. I got burned out on the boat yesterday. I don't know. I'm 55 and I still haven't figured out how to do sunscreen accurately.
I'm not trying to say it like this, like, but dude, you have red hair.
Yeah. I mean, no, I know. It's not good. you would think at this point that, you know, I would know how to do it, and apparently I do not. But the good news for those of you who remember, and I know many of you may not because you didn't happen to hear me tell the story, but the last time we had taken the boat out, we have an inflatable, like a 12-foot inflatable with a trolling motor and a lithium-ion battery that my wife got for, like, I don't know, $1,200, I think, in the end, all in. So we have a very slow-moving boat that is, you know, you can put in my trunk, basically, and then take it out. And okay, so the last time we went out, we had a catastrophically bad experience. The motor failed, and I had to row for an hour and a half against the wind, getting burned. The pieces were coming off. The boat had sprung a leak in the tubes. I mean, like, it was everything that could go wrong had gone wrong. My car battery charger gave out, and we had to air it up by hand when we were starting. Like, it was a saga, okay? There was a point at which I actually said in my head, I didn't want to say it out loud, but I thought in my head, you know, if this boat sinks and we just have to walk home, I'm fine. like maybe that solves a lot of problems for me.
Did a door float by like Titanic?
No, that's
Danny's
funny.
Like, get off.
Well, we travel in places where it's safe to begin with. You know, we're not doing like going out on, obviously not going out on the Gulf with a 12-foot inflatable. But, you know, generally speaking, anyway. After all of that, we were a little cautious about how we took our next run because we didn't know what had gone wrong. Well, we were out on the Sound yesterday, went out from Opal Beach on the Sound side and went to Navarre and back, and I mean, everything worked great. And we just got rained in a couple times, except we got sunburned terribly. But anyway, you know, it was a good time. Also, the Opal Beach was, like, the coloring at Opal Beach was crazy yesterday with all the storming and the anyway, well, so good times. 437-1620, 437-1620, what else did I want to talk with you about? I'm just kind of looking over some of my pieces here that I thought were interesting. I at first saw this story and I thought it was going to be a Signs of the Apocalypse story, but then it turned out it's not. It's just, it's a weird story. And the headline is that the one thing more and more couples are asking for in their prenups has to do with somebody leaving the workforce. It's called a leaving the workforce trigger clause. And what I originally thought this meant was that when women would become pregnant and then stay home or leave their jobs to stay home and take care of the kids, that men would put a leaving the workforce trigger clause in there that if after that they got divorced, that the men would keep all the money they earned because the woman wasn't making any money. That's what I thought it was at first. And I'm like, oh, God, this is the end of the world. Like, you know, people are putting that in. No, it's the exact opposite. The exact opposite, where essentially the woman is writing into the prenup that if she leaves the workforce and she has to give up all of her earnings and take care of the kids, that in the event of a divorce, he owes her more compensation based on the fact that she gave up her earning potential. And so that if, you know, she's basically left high and dry as a single mom at the end of it all, that she's got resources and ongoing alimony as a result of that. Now, which, okay, if you can accept the premise of a prenuptial agreement, which I do not, I think that they're terrible in general, and if you accept divorce, which I also think is terrible in general, don't accept, except under very certain circumstances, then this is brilliant. Because it is actually bringing more balance to what the woman who would otherwise be an earner, and if they, you know, they agree that she should stay home and take care of the kids, well, you know, how do we make sure that take care of her, you know, when if she is on her own in the case of a divorce? That being said, the problem that I have in general with prenups is you're only willing to enter into a somewhat union with somebody. You know, what you're saying is that my body is not important enough to keep separate. My spiritual life, my social life, my personality, all of my endeavors in life, I'm gonna merge those with you. But money, now that's the one that I don't want to mix. Not fully. You know, if I came into this arrangement with $1 million, I want to make sure that if this ends in a divorce, then I leave with $1 million. When the truth of it should be that you marry every single part of that person. And you say, well, that's terrifying. Yeah, marriage is terrifying. I mean, it's meant to be terrifying. It's meant to be scary. It's not meant to be some easy thing that you go into with safety and security. It's reckless abandon that you throw yourself into this with. Well, what about in cases where people are not taken care of well, or when, you know, something nefarious happens or a fraud or something like that? Let me refer to my other answer. Yeah, it's terrifying. That's the point. Make better choices. Pick better. And then either, you know, because if you do kind of like this halfway marriage where we're married but we don't share bank accounts, you know, you're not really fully married. Yes, we are. It says so on the paper. Okay, I'm giving you my philosophical analysis. It's no different than withholding, you know, well, I still have my friends and I still have my interests, which is okay, I suppose. But, you know, it's not that you can't have your own individual things. But if you're keeping it secret or if you're keeping it as a way of maintaining your independence, that's a problem. So, you know, if you're keeping your information and your secrets to yourself and all that kind of stuff, you're not really married. I mean, you're sort of mostly married or you're pretending to be married. Too strong? All right, sorry, it's Monday morning. 5:57 on News. Candy's giving me this horrified look like.
No, I had wished I thought I'd a prenup before.
You what's that?
Not now, but before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and that's the why it's sort of wrong philosophically, but then there's also the question of why it's dangerous to do, because every element of ease of ending a relationship that you build in at the start makes it that much easier to end the relationship later. And, you know, every marriage is going to encounter times when you think about ending it, or you think about, you know, all kinds of things. Well, if you've built it so that you don't trust the person, if you've built it so that you can separate, you've engineered failure in at the start. Every little out, every little ability to leave or change is a way of saying, I'm not fully committed to you, and I don't need to be fully committed to you. Because, you know, when push really comes to demand that you might want to do something else, you're either going to be able to say, well, you know, I guess I can leave because I've got all these outs built in, or, man, I'm totally locked into this deal until death. Now, how do we fix it? That's the approach you want. That's where you want to be. That's the same. Oh, it's the same thing. Why, like, you know, no fault divorce is so evil. Because, so that's strong. Well, yeah, because in a world where you have no fault divorce or easy divorce, nobody's married. Like, I'm not married. Not really. Think of two worlds. The one world in which, you know, you cannot get out of marriage, except under maybe very limited circumstances, like, you know, adultery. And then usually historically you'd kill the person. That's how adultery works in, you know, like ancient cultures. And then they're free to remarry because, you know, they're dead. But if, you know, except for very specific limited circumstances where you can end a marriage, if you can end a marriage for virtually any reason, that is a different world of marriage than if you cannot. Like, if you can get out easily, that's a different kind of commitment. So even though I promised until death do us part with my wife, I operate within a legal world where, I mean, I can divorce her if we need to, if I want to. It's not that hard. Not really. I mean, it's inconvenient, but it's not that hard. That means that the promise is different. The commitment is different. Just by virtue of the fact that you can so easily get out of it later. And because of that, nobody is really able to make the full marriage covenant that you used to be able to make when divorce was extraordinarily hard. Like, if, you know, you enter into a contract, just ordinary contract, but you can cancel it at any time, well, you know, it's not much of a contract. But if you get into a contract where there's no outs, no fine print, no escape clauses, that's a different kind of contract. That's all I'm saying.